So this seminar number 49 is the process for Zero Energy K-12 Schools, the next series of ASHRAE Advanced Design Guides, sponsored by TC28, which is Buildings Environmental Impact and Sustainability, which meets Sundays at 5:30. And so I'd encourage you to come to that. It's already happened for this. We are going to have four speakers this afternoon talking about the Advanced Energy Design Guides. I will wave around up here. So this is a copy of the design guide. They are available in the bookstore. They're also available as a free download. We're going to be talking about this as the first in the series for Zero Energy. So I am Paul Torsellini. I chaired the special project committee that put these design guides together. I am from the National Renewable Energy Lab. I am an ASHRAE member and have been with the lab about 23 years focusing on zero energy and very low energy commercial buildings. And so I want to talk a little bit about the process of what we did to create the design guide, and then I'm going to have three of the committee members talk about different sections of the design guide. So really it was about creating a zero energy school and applying energy use intensity targets. And like I said, we're really going to just provide that overview of the design guide. I, again, encourage all of you, it is a free download, or you can purchase a paper copy. I would like to acknowledge several people, including the U.S. Department of Energy, that provided funding for the design guide, as well as the steering committee that has oversight for the design guide. It really is made, it's a multi-organizational committee made up of membership from AIA, ASHRAE, IES, and USGBC. It is made up of a volunteer project committee. I mentioned earlier that I chaired that committee. We have three of the members up here that I will introduce in turn, and several other folks that participated. Each one of those folks that participates was nominated by their organization to work on this project committee. Is anybody else from the project committee here? I see Lilas is here, who is our staff liaison and tirelessly put effort into getting this publication out the door. So we certainly appreciate Lilas for that. So let's talk a little bit about the design guide. It is educational guidance, and that's an important piece. It is not a code. It is not a standard. It is not a guideline. But it is really guidance in how to think about zero-energy schools. The intended audience is architects and engineers that are looking for more, looking for how to go beyond the current guidance that's out there, go beyond current codes. And as I mentioned, it is available as a free download from the ASHRAE website. It is a collaboration process. This is the third series of design guides that have been done as a collaboration between those professional societies I mentioned earlier and the U.S. Department of Energy. Each one has a specialized project committee that has, in this case, direct experience with zero energy schools and zero energy buildings. And oversight is by the steering committee. It is backed by DOE and the national laboratories that provide technical support, energy simulation, for those guides. We also, in the process of developing it, have peer review and commentary processes during it, but again, it is guidance, and it is not doesn't follow the same rules as a code would or a standard would. So today, I mentioned it was the third in the series, so 11 guides have been published. All of them are available on the ASHRAE website. First came the 30% design guide series, followed by the 50% design guide series, and this is the first that's talking about zero energy buildings. So first, you know, as we talk about all of these guides, and all of these guides were characterized as on the path to getting to zero, and really thinking about conceptually a building that has no adverse energy or environmental impact because of its operation. In order to do that, that's very lofty, that's really kind of out there. We use energy consumption has been a long-term surrogate for looking at environmental impact. And when we talk about zero energy buildings, it's really about what metric we're selecting for measurement and the boundary that we're making that measurement. In this case, what energy flows to measure. And so if we look at typical buildings that use energy for lighting, space cooling, heating, water, heating, fans, pumps, and all the other stuff we put in buildings, they sit on this scale and they are not balancing the energy they use, and in most buildings don't supply any energy. And there's certainly this notion out there that says, well, I'll just stick some PV panels on the building or some renewable on the building and solve the problem. But most buildings use so much energy that getting that balance is not an achievable thing. And so one of the primary focuses of zero energy buildings and of this guide is talking about buildings being on a diet and slimming them down such that you reduce the loads enough that you can get a balance by having on-site renewable meeting those energy needs of that building. And so again, and you'll see this in the guide, the first goal is to reduce the consumption such that, and really making them a term that we talk about being zero energy ready, such that on-site renewables could meet those loads to have that balance. There is a formal DOE definition that has been used for this guide, which is an energy efficient building, which on a source energy basis, the actual annual delivered energy is less than or equal to the on-site renewable exported energy. And again, really focused towards that balance. So as we move from that to actually applying this for schools, you know, we wanted to be able to demonstrate that zero energy schools are attainable, that we can do this, we can do it today. And the other panel members are really going to dig into that somewhat from the owner's perspective as well as the designer perspective. And providing direction for designing and constructing these zero energy schools in all climate zones. We want to show that these schools are financially feasible, that they're operationally workable, that, you know, that they become in a lot of ways easier to maintain, and that these goals are readily achievable. And one of the nice things about zero energy buildings is it's a goal that you can create for buildings, and at the end of the day, you can measure it and know if it's achievable and know that you've achieved it. So I flashed the cover up a minute ago, but there's a bigger version on the screen of the design guide. It just came out on Friday. And so it is brand new, hot off the presses. And in that guide, in the first section, it talks about the process, as I mentioned before, to increase energy efficiency, and then address any remaining needs with on-site renewable. It talks about how to define that boundary, where to look at that boundary, what things to include and how they get measured, what things are considered import versus export, and highlights those pieces. From an analysis point of view, it really started by looking at what the solar resource available was to a building. And so this is a map of the solar radiation from around the United States normalized to a two-story school where 75% of the roof area is covered with PV. And that starts to get thinking about what kind of energy use goals do we need to achieve in order to get there. It's much harder to do that in cloudy, colder climates than it is, say, in the Southwest. We took that as an initial goal from an analysis point of view, and starting with the DOE prototype buildings, created a primary school and a secondary school. We took those models and updated them with information from the committee and other experts. One of the things that changed from this, from one of the previous, the 50% K-12 school guides, is these schools actually got a little bit taller in terms of number of stories. We looked at how many students and the types of space uses that we would find typical to these schools and did the modeling on those. We ran the simulations against all of the climate zones, and then plotted those. This one happens to be based on site energy. So in the guide, we reported both site energy and source energy as goals. And you can see that on a site basis, in most of the climate zones, the number is about 20,000 BTUs per square foot. And there's a little bit of a variation between the primary and the secondary school EUIs. Those exhaustive simulations, and we did many different parametrics around that and sensitivities to determine what those energy use targets were, it was really to show that zero was possible and the types of strategies that could be used to get there. One of the important things are is that even though we talk about, you know, some solutions in here and some targets, it isn't the only way to get to zero. It's one way to get there and to show the industry that it is possible, but it's not the only way to do that. And we spent a lot of time in this guide talking about kind of unleashing the creativity of designers, design teams, to work together to achieve these kinds of goals. It really does focus not so much on how much renewable energy can I plaster on a building, but really about us as a profession and how we make design decisions and how we can take those design decisions to achieve the target. And so we can talk about designing buildings that are zero energy ready. What EUI do you need to achieve such that we are ready to offset the rest of the loads with renewables? One of the challenges out there still in many locations with renewables is hooking them up to the utility grid, getting internet interconnection agreements, and John may mention that with some of his experiences in his school. And so everywhere you can't put a lot of renewables on the building. And we wanted to really focus on what we could do as design teams to hit these goals. In the guide, by climate zone, are a list of all the targets, both in site energy and in source energy. They are listed up here for reference, but the easiest way to find them is to look in the design guide. Or if you want some more information about this, on page 30 of the January ASHRAE journal, there's an article about the design guides, and this table is also in that. So what is in the guide, right? It really is focused towards engineers and architects, but it also becomes a tool for school owners, the school board's facilities administration. It starts with an introduction that talks about what zero is and some of the strategies at a high level to achieve it. Gives the rationale for why it's important. And then it starts talking about how do you actually do it? How do you put teams together to make it happen? What are those keys to success? One of those keys of success is doing energy simulation and modeling for that. And so this series has an entire chapter dedicated to building simulation. And then a lot of the meat of what goes on is in chapter 5. In those how-to strategies and really digging into what can you do to get towards zero, what are some cautions, what are some benefits to take there. And so those how-to strategies, there's a master table that show how those strategies can be applied. And really they're collections of little pieces of text. I guess you can start at the beginning of chapter 5 and just read the whole thing. But a lot of it is reference material, taking pieces and ideas from it and then applying those ideas to your designs. Those are categorized as site planning and the building related to that site planning, the massing of the building, the design of the envelope, which as we go towards zero, the design of the envelope becomes much more important to the whole process. Lighting, and Shauna is going to talk about lighting, which includes lighting, electric lighting, plug loads and power distribution. As we reduce our lighting HVAC loads, the plug loads become much more important. And if you're looking for overall targets, you really want to start addressing those plug loads. And there are lots of strategies here for how engineers, architects can help building owners achieve much lower plug loads in their buildings. Schools often have kitchens in them, so we talk about kitchen equipment and the ventilation associated with that. Hot water heating, HVAC equipment. And then finally, there is a brief section about renewable energy and how to think about starting to get that applied to these buildings. One of the most valuable parts of this are case studies. There are several case studies in there. We're going to hear about one of those case studies here in a minute, where there are actual schools that have achieved and have measured EUIs that are in the neighborhood of what we're talking about with this design guide. Obviously, these schools couldn't use the design guide, but they really provide a lot of motivation and show that it can be done, and it can be done today. Another piece of it, and I mentioned the modeling. As we developed the modeling, we did create building components for these pieces for K-12. Those are available on our website and will be linked from the ASHRAE website on these different design measures that can be then linked together to help speed up the modeling process in developing these ideas and putting these ideas into simulations. The other part of the design guide is that we can't give you every piece of knowledge about zero-energy buildings in one of these design guides. And so there's a huge amount of support resources available with it. One of those are feasibility studies that we did initially to actually show that it was worthy to have a design guide around this, along with the technical support document, which digs into more of the numbers behind the scene. That will be available very shortly to match this design guide. We talked before about the modeling tools and the validation about those modeling tools is an important resource that can help all of you create these buildings. In addition, we're looking at working with school districts. We're working with several now in doing the planning process and putting the pieces together to help them get on the path to build zero-energy buildings in districts. We're currently working with, I think, 10 districts around the country to make that happen. We're not stopping here with schools. We felt that schools was a good introduction market, that lots of designers work on those, lots of communities. There's schools in every community, so they interface large numbers of people. And we felt that it was a good starting sector. Up next is office buildings, and we've just kicked off the design guide, advanced design guide, for our zero-energy office buildings. So with that, if there's any burning questions, or we can take questions at the end.